Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for crops. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at WILL.UIUC.edu.
USDA is set to release the October crop production report next week. Will it hold an October surprise? We'll try to find out today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Our panelists today on Commodity Week are Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois, and Ellen Dearden of Ag Review out of Morton, Illinois. Let's open today's discussion with this question. Paul, I'm going to pick on you just a bit. ADM Investor Services says the soybean carryout for next year will be 493 million bushels. It's a huge number for reference. When beans began their climb to $10 in the spring of 2004, the carryout was something between 105 and 125. I think it was at 115 at that point. And the current USDA guess is 205 million bushels. Okay, enough lessons. Can you honestly see a 493 million bushel bean carryout? Paul Cooley, ADM Investor Services.
I didn't know they were putting out that large a number, but I would second the motion. It's over 400 million, and it goes into two places. The Chinese export-import demand by the Chinese will probably be cut 50 million bushels. The second factor that we're looking at is that I even think from my contacts that FC Stone numbers of 3105, it'll be a number even larger than that. That was an average yield of 43 bushels per acre. And that's a 249 million bushel increase from the last USDA report. Production is large. The elevators are giving the farmer storage. The farmer storing the beans for higher prices. And we're not seeing the flood of cash beans move into the countryside.
I did not expect you to come back with a number over 400 million on the beans. I'm surprised just a bit. Kurt Kimmel.
But the number you said for carryover is 493.
I know it.
So, okay.
Yeah, well, I understand that you're not as high as the rest of the company, but right. I didn't expect to see one that was that high. Kurt, can you see anything that high?
Well, I think we can talk that big a number. And we've talked bigger in the past. We've talked 500, 600 million bushels in the past, and that scared the trade for a day or two. But you got to remember, these high carryouts will push the market lower, which will stimulate demand. And when it's all said and done, a year from now, we'll probably be closer to the 300 because cheaper prices will stimulate demand. China's been buying beans just about every other day under the radar. There's still question about Brazilian acres, South American production in general. We've got to remember, global demand for beans is strong, and when it's all said and done, I doubt if it's that high a year from now.
Ellen Dearden, your thoughts on that kind of number?
I kind of agree with Kurt. We may be starting out with something in that blue sky area up over 400 million, but I sure expect that it will be whittled down as we go. Somewhere along the line, USDA also has to reconcile that they overestimated last year's bean crop. So somewhere along the line, that number is going to come down.
By the way, when the Wednesday morning report comes out, it'll land somewhere. It won't land where it'll land where it is. But the trade range looks like this, 245 million to 493 million for the range for the carryout. USDA's current carryout at 205 million. The average guess is at 304 million. Soy complex beans, the average guess for total crop size at 3.006 billion with a range of 2.9 to 3.1. The USDA's estimate in September was a 2.856 billion bushel crop. And for reference, last year's crop at 3.124 billion. billion. At the Chicago Board of Trade this week, soybeans finished like this. The November had a high of 586, the low at 558. November soybeans 564 and a quarter. They were off 9 cents. July beans were down 9.5 at $5.94 on this Friday afternoon. Those, of course, week-to-week changes. So let's talk more about the Brazilian crop and what the potential are. There were some numbers that came out of Brazil this week that said the expectation was that there would be fewer planted acres in Brazil for soybeans, but that given the last two cropping years that weren't very good, they think they'll still raise a bigger crop.
Yeah, you know, the USDA, I believe, is at 60 million metric tons. They're talking maybe 57 million metric tons. But it's hard for me to believe there's actually going to be less bean acres. A farmer's a farmer, an investor's an investor. They'll go at it. I think the inputs will be cut back, such as fertilizer and so forth, maybe a few less acres, but I don't see a big decrease. But at the same breath, too, there's going to be an increase in acres in Argentina. So how it all comes out, we'll trade that this winter.
Go ahead.
I really think that we're going to see Brazilian bean acres down to maybe as much as 3% just because of the real pinch that the farmers there are seeing on inputs. We're just not seeing the widespread credit availability. And we're also starting to see some of these chemical companies pull back some money. So I would anticipate we will see a pretty good drop in bean acres in Brazil. But like Kurt, I think the Argentine acres will be up.
And fundamentally, will that change much given the last two very poor seasons that they had?
I think they still could produce a decent sized crop. My question is, what's going to happen in Mato Grosso where they come in and plant rather late and have had this major rust problem? If the bean acres drop off dramatically there, then maybe we will have a 55, 57 million metric ton Brazilian crop.
And tell me about the Argentinian crop and how that plays into Chinese imports, especially what happens with U.S. exports to China.
Well, China's been having some real difficulty getting along with Brazil. So I think that them turning to Argentina is not going to be a big question mark. I think that'll happen. I'm not sure how active they're going to be with Argentina till they get well into that marketing year. I actually think that China will continue to be a buyer and a booker of U.S. beans all the way here in the fall, and anticipation that they're not going to have South American beans to draw from at least until April. You know, that would be my best shot.
Paul, you argue the other side of this one, or maybe not. You talked about a 50 million bushel or 50 million cut in Chinese exports.
Imports,
sure.
Yeah. Let's don't sell Brazil short. They're the fourth world's largest economy in the world. They know how to play ball. They're a fast break team. My general impression is that they know how to play the financing game. Don't sell them short. They know how to plant beans. They're big players. And they know how to play.
All right. I ran through a lot of this on the beans on the idea that people are going to be making some decisions about what they're going to do with acreage next fall. So I'm guessing that you're not looking. Anybody looking at a fairly good recovery in bean prices in the next 6 to 7 months? No. So the question is, if we've got anhydrous prices that are really jumping up, everybody seems to think that there'll be maybe 2 or 3 million acres less corn. Can you actually afford to plant soybeans at prices that not very good in probably?
We're anticipating, just basic math, 2 to 3 million more acres of soybeans. A couple of things: we're looking for more wheat acreage and a little less corn. The general impression is, Todd, that the dynamics of biodiesel, the dynamics of the protein market in the world, we're going to see historically 50 cent to 75 cent seasons low to seasons highs in beans. And, you can just bet a dollar on that one because, it happens every year. We see some tremendous price movements in soybeans. It's the nature of the game.
It's hard to believe maybe we'll get over $6 in the near term. But two, this psychology, this all started later on this summer when producers expected to be lucky to get 100 bushel acre. Now they're pumping out better yields, 20, 30, 40, 50 bushels better than expected in some areas. So the psychology is back. Well, may I go ahead with corn and pay that extra nitrogen with those extra bushels they've gotten here in the last 2 to 3 weeks.
Has anybody heard of nitrogen price in the last week? Has anybody been able to price those out yet?
I've heard some nitrogen prices going west along the Mississippi River on the low side of things, just under $500, and on the high side of things, as high as $580.
I think people would be thinking just under $500 might not be a bad deal, mm-hmm. given the current pricing structure, potential for anhydrous ammonia. Okay, let's take a look at the corn market. December futures, 209.5 on the high, the low at 202.25. And the settlement price at 202.5 was down 3. By the way, that low for the December contract is also the contract low. July futures, 230.5. They were down 2.25. Your expectations, Paul, for next Wednesday?
Well, I think we'll see a crop in that 10.97 number, 10.9, you know, will it be 11 billion? I don't know about that. It's a good corn crop. Everybody feels it's 20 to 40 bushels per acre out better than anticipated. The big thing is that the soybean, the elevator is putting soybeans in corn space, and we're going to see a long, drawn-out corn harvest. The elevator has to take a wider, bigger margin. The basis is going to get wider. The barge freight, I think, jumped to 800% at tariff. And our general impression is that the elevator is going to learn an important lesson from last year. He put too much corn on the ground and didn't tarp it and has damaged corn. It's an awful big lesson. Don't have damaged corn or it's going to cost you a lot of money. And when you put $1 million worth of corn on the ground, if it's a co-op, your farmer owners want a profit. And if you're a big corporation, you better make a profit or you'll move down the road.
The October crop production report estimates look like this. The range, 10.665 billion to 11.118 billion on the guesses. Average trade guess at 10.862 billion. And the USDA's last number, of course, was at 10.6 billion. So the question is, last year, this was the one that we really came in with, an 11 billion bushel crop last time in September, an 11.7 billion bushel corn crop. That happened in October. So I called and checked with Joe Persaki to see just exactly how that might have taken place. And he returned my call, although I didn't get a chance exactly to talk to him directly. But this is what Joe had to say.
You asked about the big jump last year from September to October, and do I anticipate anything this year from September to October? And the answer this year is I don't know. I don't know what to expect this year. The big deal last year, you know, in retrospect, looking back, was that, you know, it was so cool through August and the first part of September that the crop was kind of behind. And when we got the data from our field plots in, you know, it showed less yield potential, you know, than what we ended up with. And so by the time October came around, last year we had a lot of field harvested, so we had actual grain weight. So that's what really knocked things way up last year. Now this year, I don't know. We will definitely have field plots coming in, but I have no clear inclination which way it's going to go. Actually, I haven't even seen the data yet. But, you know, just talking with people, you know, the harvest is, you know, ahead of schedule a little bit in some areas, on corn especially.
That was Joe Persaki, who's the chief of the crops branch at USDA NASS. And if you went back and listened to that a couple times, you understand that what he said was that we had an awfully cool end of the season. And so that the numbers they got in September didn't really reflect what happened with that warm September when the bushels really came out. So the question at this point is, because we're opposite of that this year, we've had a very warm, we had a warm September, but we also had a very warm season all along. Will the numbers that USDA showed then be better and more and closer at the 10.6 this time around than they were last year at 11 billion from September?
Well, any way you answer the question, it's still going to be awful close to 11 billion bushel corn crop, Todd. And I tell you what, the kernel depth is good to excellent. We're seeing, one idea that several farmers throw out, we had a lot of sunshine to make the corn crop. We probably had very little nitrogen loss. And when the rain, little rain came, it turned into a pretty good corn kernel. And I don't want to argue too much because I know what the bottom line is, and it's a pretty darn good corn crop.
All right. Everybody thinking that farmers should be taking LDP as they harvest at this point?
We're recommending that farmers take LDP on every bushel they've got priced ahead. However, on bushels that they haven't had priced, I think they need to be a little bit more cautious. Maybe even think about using the loan.
Is it possible that the cash grain situation, the basis will start to strengthen up a bit? And I guess that depends on whether you think the Gulf has straightened itself out at this point.
I think it's going to take a little time yet, but yeah, that's going to happen. It's just a question of when. But you look at that Gulf, though, you go back to prior years, the basis of the Gulf isn't that bad, actually. You know, it's just the transportation cost and the availability of barges and rail cars that's messing things up here short term. But over time, I think it's going to straighten up. I think mid 45 cent LDP, you can take that, come back and buy a March 220 corn put to cover, or sell the carry. There's tremendous carrying charges here. There's going to be a ton of money made here this year on storing corn.
Your thoughts on LDP?
You know, Kurt did a beautiful job of explaining that, and I second his motion on that one.
And what do we think about the livestock market at this point? It's been very good in the last week.
Yeah, it sure has. This beef market just exploded, and the belly market's putting a lot of support on the hogs. I'm finding a lot of guys really want to buy feeder cattle in order to walk some of this corn off the farm. These are guys that typically would feed out some cattle, but they want to feed out more. Problem lies in when they go to the sale barn and start looking at prices and just, you know, choke looking at how high those are.
Can you buy $100 feeder cattle and actually make it work?
It's awful hard.
Yeah. So.
And the guys that I'm talking to are trying to buy some heavier stuff, figuring that the cattle market will hold together for a good 3 or 4 months. And, boy, they're really 800-pound steers, $1.20 a pound? I don't think so.
Let's wrap up the rest of the numbers, and then in 2 minutes, we'll talk with ag economist from Iowa State, Bob Wisner. The numbers finished like this. Wheat futures December contract, a high of 352 this week, the low at 336 and three quarters. They settled at 338. They were off 8 and a quarter from last week. July futures at 365 and a quarter were down 8 and a quarter. From the Mercantile Exchange, October live cattle, 91.10 on the high, the low at 88. 75, and they settled at $90.25. They were up $1.12.5. The October feeder cattle at 118.32.5 were up 290. Lean hog settled the October contract 68.65 on the high, the low at 67.20. Settlement price at $68.55. They were up $1.35. And the February pork bellies at 97.47.5 were up 68.5 for the week.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Summer-like weather followed us into the month of October this week. Temperatures from 15 to 20 degrees above normal and rather high dew points for this time of year made the first week of October seem like the first week in August. Daytime temperatures were well into the 80s and close to 90, and some locations probably set new daily records early in the week. A strong cold front pushed through Illinois late Wednesday and early Thursday, sweeping the warm weather out of the state. The cold front was accompanied by a lot of rain west of the Mississippi River, but rain decreased as the front moved east. The timing of the frontal passage through Illinois, coming through overnight as it did, meant that it could not take advantage of the heating of the day for shower development. Rain did fall in western and central Illinois, but eastern sections of the state saw nary a drop. It looks like next week in Illinois we'll have seasonable temperatures with another strong cold front swinging through at the end of the week. That and another weaker front on Wednesday may bring a chance of showers to Illinois. However, for the most part, good harvest conditions will prevail with mostly dry weather. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at WILL.UIUC.edu. Click on AM and then on Agriculture.
I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists today are Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois, Ellen Dearden of Ag Review out of Morton, Illinois, and Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services from Oakland, Illinois. We're joined now by Iowa State University Extension Ag Economist Bob Wisner. His interests include grain and oilseed marketing analysis, price forecasting, marketing, international trade in grains and oilseeds, agricultural policy, and risk management. Bob, thanks for being with us today.
It's my pleasure.
Tell me about the grain flow there in Iowa and how good the crops are.
We're
according to the USDA estimates, at about 50% of the harvest, the bean harvest right now, probably moved up a little above that. I would say close to 60%. We have had some rain at some areas this week. Bean yields are extremely good in at least in the western two-thirds of the state. A lot of farmers reporting the best ever bean yields. I think we credit that to the dry weather and reduced disease problems. Corn yields, we're just getting started in the corn harvest in most areas. What yield reports we've heard are generally very good, with the exception of extreme east central and southeastern Iowa. We've had drought problems there, like Illinois. But I think statewide we're going to have very good crops. If the FC stone number is close, that works through with about probably between 20 and 25% of our corn crop will not have storage space available other than some kind of temporary arrangement. And that is going to put a lot of, or keep the basis very weak. It's already under tremendous pressure. We're seeing a basis of 60 under or more in much of the western two-thirds of the state. We've got cash corn prices in the upper 130 range to low 140 range in a large part of the state, and it's going to take a lot of time to work those excess supplies off that will have to be piled outside.
Bob, we understand that there's quite a price differentiation in the soybeans from what the elevator is paying for soybeans and the posted county price of beans. A lot of elevator farmer in the community of Iowa is calling the USDA about it. Do you think they'll change it, or do you think that they'll keep their price discrimination on the posted county prices for a few weeks?
Well, I've not had very good success in forecasting administrative decisions like that. I really don't know. I would watch that very closely. My gut feeling is there might be a little tendency to tweak it to pull that posted county price down and begin to give us some LDPs. But we're very close to that right now. I see today, at least in some counties in Illinois, you've got a penny LDP on soybeans. As far as I know, we don't have any counties in Iowa that have any LDP yet, but another few cents down, we would begin to get some LDP on the beans. And our cash prices right now are running $5 or just a little above in central and west central Iowa. That's actually a shade above the loan rate yet.
Bob, you're hearing the same thing you hear in the eastern part of Illinois, and portions of Indiana, best bean yields ever, sort of echoes the corn a year ago. How big do you think this bean crop could grow if these true statements come true?
I was very shocked at the FC stone numbers of slightly over 3.1 billion bushels this week, 3.105. In Informa Economics, 100 million below that, but I'm thinking at least a 3 billion crop. I wouldn't rule out the FC stone numbers, although that's a little higher than I had anticipated. And primarily, they've got a little higher numbers, quite a bit higher for Illinois than I had thought. But it looks like those late season rains may have helped your bean yields.
Bob, I'd like to flip gears and talk a little bit about the demand side of things. We've seen some really good bean oil demand. Can you give us a little insight into alternative vegetable oils and where that could leave bean oil prices?
We've got some uncertainties in that area. We've got several new biodiesel plants under construction, and the oil market has gotten excited about that. And I think soybean oil, we're probably going to be looking at least maybe couple hundred million bushel or million pounds of oil going into biodiesel. Maybe that's too low. It'll take a while to get those plants up and going. As I understand it, there's some prohibition in the energy bill that would possibly allow palm oil imports for biodiesel, and that's a concern. We don't know how that's going to work out. There's a plant in western Iowa that's looking at using animal fats for biodiesel. We don't know what the volume is going to be on that yet, but there's a lot of uncertainty. But certainly that does look like a supporting influence on the bean oil price and probably giving the oil a higher share of the bean value than we've seen in the last year or two.
What are your expectations for exports to China of both soybeans and potentially corn, given the U.S. Grains Council's reduced number for their crop this season?
Well, first of all, there's a lot of uncertainty on the Chinese crop, and we don't have good solid estimates. Right now, our soybean sales to China our sales levels are 51% below last year, I believe. So the Chinese have been slow to come back to us. The reason for that, there's a huge record large carryover of beans in South America. My calculations from USDA numbers show about 1.2 billion bushels of beans September 1 in Brazil and Argentina together. China is coming back into that market, but they've got quite a ways to go to catch up. I think they will be back in a strong way, but it may be a little more gradual than what a lot of people are counting on. On the bean side, and the European Union has been very slow to come into that bean market, and they're normally the second largest export market for beans. Our sales to EU at this point are down 68% from a year ago. And again, I think the answer is the European Union is looking to South America for those supplies right now. We also need to keep in mind that the Gulf shipping situation has probably hit soybean exports harder than corn, and that may be an incentive for these foreign markets to, at least for the time being, to look to South America.
And to close out, what are your price projections for corn and soybeans?
Obviously, I'm going to be updating those next week, but I'm thinking our forecasting models are saying cash beans season average price probably down around $5 if the FC Stone number is correct, or even a little below that. And on the corn, we are thinking if the numbers come out similar to FC Stone, probably around $1.75 for a U.S. average. Now, those are pretty discouraging, but when you look at the markets in the Western Corn Belt, recognize the heaviest sales are during the fall. That's not a good situation for the season average price.
Bob, we appreciate you being with us. Extension Ag Economist Bob Wisner from Iowa State University. And now a final word from our panelist, Ellen Dearden. We'll start with you of Ag Review in Morton, Illinois.
Just want to remember that Monday is a federal holiday, and you won't be able to apply for an LDP, but there may be a little play on this LDP for corn when the market reopens on Tuesday morning at the FSA office.
Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing.
Even though the market is trending lower here, I think we got to remember fall is usually when you typically make lows.
And Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services.
We lost a special employee in Chicago, Eric Kluse. He passed away, and we'll miss you a lot.
Paul Cooley, ADM Investor Services, and Ellen Dearden, and Kurt Kimmel, thanks much for joining us on this edition of Commodity Week. That wraps it up. Something to keep in mind, as Ellen said, Monday is a government holiday. The exchanges will be open, and next Wednesday morning, USDA will release the October crop production and supply and demand reports. I'm Todd Gleason.
Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for crops. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.